Oh, the grocers, though we have fun. Tax collectors getting closer, still we have fun. There's nothing surer, the rich get rich and the poor get poorer. In the meantime, in between time, ain't we got fun?
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Sam Pizzicati, who's a veteran Labor journalist and associate fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies. He is an editor at the online newsletter Too Much, and his most recent article at inequality.org is Federal Regulators Finally Mind the Gap. Welcome to Background Briefing, Sam Pizzicati.
Thank you.
So what's been going on here at the SEC, apparently, is that they have been delaying for 37 months debate over the implementation of a pay ratio disclosure rule in the Dodd-Frank Act, which, of course, has been in play for some time. And you've reported on the meetings between the Security and Exchange Commissioner's five commissioners where – a couple of the commissioners have the Wall Street friendly commissioners have had the unenviable task of defending CEO pay, the skyrocketing pay of CEOs in this country compared to the dwindling wages of ordinary workers. So how well did they equip themselves, these shills for Wall Street?
Well, it was last Wednesday that the SEC, the five SEC commissioners, met to consider a proposed rule to enforce the Dodd-Frank provision that was passed in 2010 that requires corporations to annually disclose the ratio between what they pay their CEO and what they pay their median worker. This was written into law back in 2010, but when provisions in laws like that get adopted, they don't automatically go into effect because regulatory agencies, federal regulators, have to write the rules that allow those provisions to be enforced. And in this case, the SEC sat on the rulemaking process, and essentially nothing happened for 3 years. And nothing happened because corporate America unleashed an awesome shock and awe blitz against this provision of Dodd-Frank, and they really lobbied and pushed hard for the SEC to water down this mandate, this disclosure mandate, as much as possible. So last week, finally, after 3 years, the five commissioners got together to vote on a specific proposal that the SEC staff had prepared, and that proposal turned out to be surprisingly tough on corporations. It turned out to actually to conform to the spirit of the Dodd-Frank provision, and it was a fairly hilarious scene to see the two corporate-friendly commissioners, Michael Piwowar and Daniel Gallagher, try to defend the corporate position. And the corporate position is that corporations should not have to disclose the ratio between what they pay their CEOs and what they pay their typical workers.
So how did the vote go?
Well, the vote went 3-2 in favor of a tough rule. But this, unfortunately, doesn't end the story because now the rule that has been preliminarily approved by the SEC commissioners by majority vote now goes for a 60-day public comment period. And corporations have already started to flood the public comment area with hostile commentaries. At the end of the 60 days, the commissioners will vote again. Now, it's expected that they'll continue to support the tough regulation. But at that point, what advocates for CEO pay transparency fear is that corporations will go to court and try to stop the regulation from going into effect by going into federal court.
So does this mean then that some of the criticism of Mary Jo White, the new chair of the SEC, was misplaced? She certainly seems to be doing better than her predecessor.
Well, she's on this particular provision, she's off to a good start. She hasn't been chair very long of the SEC, and she apparently lit a fire under the agency and got this proposal to the table finally after 3 years. So that's a good sign.
So this, of course, is, I think, at the heart of something that perhaps is out there in the political zeitgeist of the country. I think it's certainly in the subconscious, if not in the consciousness of most Americans, particularly working Americans who are struggling who, you know, go live paycheck to paycheck. The idea that CEO corporate executive pay is skyrocketing, and they can basically shoot the moon, and they don't. We spoke earlier when your study came out about how many of them fail upwards. They preside over disastrous performances, and yet get hundreds of millions of dollars in golden parachutes, and even some of them get indicted, and it still doesn't matter. I mean. Do you think that there is a growing awareness that maybe that's giving some impetus to the majority of the SEC commissioners that recognize that the American people, I mean, I think it was Elizabeth Warren recently said at the AFL-CIO that the American people know they're getting shafted?
That's right. The American people know that we're getting shafted by top corporate executives, but we don't have the specifics. And that's why this regulation is so important, and that's why corporations have been fighting so hard to stop it from going to effect, because we've never been able to compare corporation to corporation on the basis of the ratio between executive and worker pay. We've never been able to say, for instance, that Walmart pays its top executives X times, you know, several hundred, even into over 1,000 times more than its typical worker, while Costco only pays its CEO 100 times what its typical worker makes. We've never had that sort of information, and we will have that information if this provision finally goes into effect.
Well, that would be a great thing for the public to know, wouldn't it? When you shop at Walmart, you're shopping for the greediest family on the planet, who own the equivalent, the combined wealth, the equivalent of the lower 40% of all Americans. These heirs, who do nothing, as far as I can tell, with their money, except, you know, promote charter schools and have fleets of executive jets. I mean, they simply don't know what to do with all the money they're making. Why they can't trickle a little bit of it down on the Walmart workers is incomprehensible to me. And by comparison, at Costco, they pay their workers a living wage. I think a lot of consumers would prefer to shop at with a company that treats its people properly, as opposed to one that screws them and exploits them and treats them with contempt.
Yes, I agree totally. So this disclosure mandate will arm consumers with very valuable information, but can do something else as well. It can be the foundation for really some strong and serious government action. Right now, every major corporation in the United States depends on our tax dollars in one way or another. Lots of corporations like General Electric and Lockheed get many billions of dollars a year in government contracts. Other corporations get many billions of dollars a year in tax subsidies. If we had this ratio information, we could tie these government contracts, we could tie these tax subsidies of various sorts onto the worker CEO pay ratio. We could say that no corporation that pays its top executives over 25 or 50 or 100 times what its typical workers are making can qualify for a federal contract, can qualify for a federal tax subsidy of one sort or another. That would be a very powerful lever for us to use against inequality in the United States.
So, Sam Pizzagatti, who is, when you say enormous lobbying effort has been deployed by Wall Street against these new rules in the Dodd-Frank bill that the SEC have sat on for 37 months, are the CEOs who are making out like bandits, they're just paying their lobbyists to keep the gravy train going. Is that what's happening?
That's right. I mean, all sorts of different corporate organizations and front groups have been behind this lobbying campaign. You have organizations like the Business Roundtable, which is a group that represents individual CEOs at major corporations around the United States. You have individual corporations. You have trade associations of different industrial sectors. They've all jumped into this to this battle to try to stop this provision of the Dodd-Frank Act. Meanwhile, on the other side, labor and public interest groups based in Washington, D.C., have been fighting very hard to save this provision. And before this, before last week's SEC vote, supporters of this of this provision were able to get over 20,000 messages into the SEC in support of the of a tough rule, and I think that that sort of mobilizing helped secure last week's victory.
So, what were, in a nutshell, the arguments of these two Wall Street friendly commissioners, Marco Piwara and Daniel Gallagher? What is the justification? How do you defend the indefensible here?
Well, they tried to make a couple arguments. They said, one, that the information that this provision asks for is meaningless, that that investors don't want it, that it makes no sense to try to collect it. And then they say collecting it would put having to collect it would put a tremendous cost burden on corporate America, which is ludicrous. I mean, corporations know what they're paying their workers, so computing what they're paying their typical workers isn't exactly rocket science.
So would this be the first time that the CEOs have been threatened? I mean, I've never understood why it is that CEO pay has gone up so astronomically in the last few decades. I know a lot of it has to do with stock options, which is how they make most of their money. But what is the rationale between paying these people more than anybody else, any other corporations around the world pay for these skills that are fairly amorphous and quite often patently false?
Well, there are different rationales. One rationale is that they need high pay. Corporations need to give executives high pay or offer high pay as an incentive to quality performance, and that without high pay, they're not going to get quality performance. They also say that we need to benchmark what we pay our CEOs against what other corporations pay their CEOs, and we need to keep our CEO pay in the top half of what all corporations pay their CEOs, or the top quarter of what all CEOs or corporations pay their CEOs. And of course, if everybody tries to pay their CEO in the top half or the top quarter of the CEO population, you have a you have an undertow that's going to raise CEO pay across the board, and that's exactly what's happened. This new Dodd-Frank provision says let's not just compare CEO pay to the pay of other CEOs, let's compare CEO pay to the pay of workers. And if we do that, we'll put a dampening, a damper on that ever-rising the CEO compensation.
Well, if this goes through, I can see that it could make a big change. We discussed how consumers equipped with this information might decide to shop at places that treat their workers better. Also, I think there'd be less of this self-serving advertising that goes on by big corporations who tell us how much they care about the environment and motherhood and apple pie. They're able to buy public relations, but facts and figures speak louder, don't they?
That's right. As, you know, this provision, I don't want to get Pollyannish about this, but this could be a game changer. This could be a piece of information that could leverage all sorts of other action against executive excess in corporate America today. So we're very high about this, and there's still more struggle ahead before we get this actually enforced. But last week did mark a very substantial victory.
Well, Sam Pizzagatti, I thank you for joining us here today.
Thank you.
And again, I've been speaking with Sam Pizzagatti, who's a veteran labor journalist and associate fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies. He's the editor at the online newsletter Too Much, and his most recent article at inequality.org is Federal Regulators Finally Mind the Gap. And that, of course, is the gap is the ratio of pay between overpaid CEOs and underpaid workers. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking with a professor of journalism in the University of Texas about the Lone Star State's Ted Cruz, who was using the United States Senate as a forum for him to do fundraising for his 2016 political ambitions.